On Mondays, our business news focuses on technology. Today, technology on the home front. Remember when you couldn't take a picture with a cell phone or carry thousands of songs in your pocket? A lot can happen in a decade or so. What's next? Today, we begin a four-part series on how technology will affect the way we live our lives in the future. We'll start at home. As NPR's Laura Seidel reports, high-tech homes have to balance gadgetry with livability.
People love to speculate on what the home of the future will look like. Remember the cartoon The Jetsons?
Meet George Jetson.
But history is littered with the detritus of failed utopian homes.
Welcome to Monsanto's Plastics Home of the Future.
The Monsanto House of the Future was set up in 1957 in Disneyland.
As you entered this experimental model home, perhaps you noticed that the house itself is constructed entirely of plastics.
There was a term for this view of a future in which homes were made of inorganic items like plastic. Damp cloth utopianism, says Edward Tenner, the author of Our Own Devices.
Part of it was that all these surfaces then would just need a quick touch-up. It was organized for a certain kind of efficiency, and in some extreme cases, it was supposed to be even possible to hose the whole thing down.
Of course, it quickly became apparent that no one wanted to live in an all-plastic home. But when they tried to take down the Monsanto house, the wrecking ball bounced off the plastic, and they had to take it apart with a saw. Still, a history of failed utopian visions isn't stopping Microsoft from offering up its ideas. The company maintains a prototype of its home of the future at its headquarters in Redmond, Washington. Jonathan Klutz, director of consumer prototyping and strategy at Microsoft, stands at the doorway. No key is needed. There's a glass block on the doorpost, big enough for a flat palm.
It'll do a palm scan, and when it does, it unlocks the door and lets us in.
If the scanner doesn't recognize the handprint, the door doesn't open. This house is totally wired. She even talks. Her name is Grace.
Grace, what time is it?
Time is 12:21 p.m.
Grace, what's up?
You are meeting with National Public Radio today. Also, you had a conference call with Charles and Sue.
So you say it's able to pull from my basic events here in the home. It knows what's going on with different family members. We have some command and control, so I can say, Grace, set scene to welcome home.
Now the blinds come up, the lights turn on, and some of Klutz's favorite music starts playing. Grace doesn't talk back or complain about the hours, yet she's everywhere, running, of course, on Microsoft software. If you're cooking, no need to look up a recipe. Grace knows what ingredients are on hand and what can be made from them. She'll even read you the cooking instructions.
Cut parchment paper to fit baking sheets. Liberally sprinkle paper with flour and semolina.
Grace can even help when you're out of the house. Imagine being at the supermarket. You've forgotten your shopping list. Can't remember if you're out of eggs?
So I take out my pocket PC or my cell phone, ask my phone to check. So my refrigerator will look, check to see whether I've got an inventory, and I can decide while I'm at the store whether I need to pick that up or not.
This house has many tricks. Post an invitation to a party on a computerized bulletin board, and it will schedule it in the date book. It will even alert you if you need a babysitter and help you track one down. Klutz says the trend towards faster and cheaper computing power will eventually make it possible to get a computerized bulletin board for the price of an ordinary one today.
The fact of the matter is that the processing power in that gets cheap so quickly, right, that you can really project that 5 to 10 years from now that you would be able to make that same type device for about the same price.
But the idea of an automated home predates the modern computer era, says Kent Larson from MIT's Department of Architecture. People have imagined such homes going back to the 1920s. Many had light switches that turned themselves on and off. But over time, the same problem keeps popping up. Without a human in the loop, Larson says the automation can fail to do as ordered.
If a system makes decisions for you related to lighting or whatever, and it only gets it right, 95% of the time, which is way beyond our capability, it still really annoys people 5% of the time, and they'll turn it off and not use it.
Larson directs the House N project at MIT. The project installs new technologies in a model home, but unlike many of the futurist visions, this one is tested with real human beings who live in the home for 2 weeks at a time.
What I would like to do is to bring together some of the idealism and confidence that you can solve societal problems that the early modernists have. Without this rigid aesthetic ideology, I'd rather more democratized design and give people the choice to decide on their own environment, which may well be deciding to have no technology at all.
Still, some consumers are incorporating automation into their homes. Jay Jeffers, an interior designer based in San Francisco, is flipping through the pages of a book with pictures of the homes of his clients.
There are a lot of things going on with technology, with lighting, and creating lighting scenarios, you know, where you touch a button and the button is called entertainment and all the lights are in the house are dimmed. And I'm seeing that a lot, which I think is great.
However, Jeffers certainly sees limits to the growing use of computers and technology in the home.
It's your cocoon and your place to really relax and have some downtime. And I think if you've got wires running around everywhere and you've got TV and technology and, you know, all these things going on everywhere, it's distracting to your relaxation.
There's also a looming problem for those who want to make the automated home reliant on the internet. If you can find out what is in your refrigerator from the supermarket, hackers probably can too. Without careful protections, computerized appliances may be even more vulnerable to viruses than a desktop computer, says Alan Paller of the SANS Institute, which does research on computer security issues.
All our other information, all our other personal information that we're working so hard to protect on our PCs becomes open to attackers if these appliances come with vulnerabilities, because the appliances are going to be on the same network as our PCs.
Over time, many observers of history find that the people who make technologies often dream bigger than the public, the potential consumers. But historically, some small percentage of their vision will find its way into our daily lives. Our entire kitchen may not be made of plastic, but at least the Tupperware is. Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.
Tomorrow, a new kind of battery, one that gets its power from a highly flammable liquid fuel. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm John Idstein.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.